This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, Episode 12, Part 2.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, here are the hosts of the Veterinary Project Podcast, Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light.
Hey everyone, welcome back to part two of our conversation with Dr. Devin Nobert. Man, I mean, this has been just such an amazing conversation. I'm going to throw it over to my co-host here, Jonathan Light. How are you feeling about it? What are your thoughts of this conversation with Devin?
My thoughts go deep, Mike. I really have enjoyed our first half of this conversation. You know, it's something when you've known somebody for as long as we have, which is, you know, Devin, he's been in our lives for the last decade and a half. You know, you're looking at 2005, 2006, and the story that he's providing for us over the last episode and then again today, it's enlightening even for somebody you've known for 15 years. And look forward to, you know, continuing on this journey and this conversation with him. Yeah, it's been a great conversation from my perspective so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we don't want to keep you guys from hearing part two. I'm going to throw it right back to you, Johnny, for this week's quick tip, and then we'll dive in.
That's right. He's putting me on the spot, and that's all right. My quick tip today goes back to our phones. Great app that I'm using these days and getting into. It's called Waking Up. The app maker is by Sam Harris, and it's around meditation. Similar to other apps out there, Headspace, etc. I've struggled with meditation for years and not even getting started with it. To me, this has been an app that's working on the why behind, and I'm really enjoying it and trying to be present more. So for anybody out there that's looking for something different, go check out that app, Waking Up.
Right on. Thanks, Johnny. Okay. Well, no introduction needed for this one. Without any further ado, let's dive into part two of our conversation with Dr. Devin Nobert. All right, welcome back, everyone. Part two of our conversation with Devin. If you have not watched last week's episode and conversation with Devin, I would recommend that you pause and go back and do that right now because that sets the framework of everything we're going to build off of here in our part two. And so we're jumping in. Devin has walked us through kind of his journey to vet school and in vet school, and his airway accident that happened to him, over 280 medical procedures around that. And we're going to kind of jump in, starting, I guess we'll call it like the journey to healing. I don't know, that maybe sounds a bit cliche, but Devin, you said something to me when we were setting up for this call earlier in the week, just about how you frame everything. And I mean, it's unbelievable, but you said it's not about what happened to me. And so I'm just going to sort of give that to you and let you take it from there about walking us through still like how you've dealt with this and your sort of mindset, because it's truly inspiring. Like, I just look at you and I'm in awe.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I see you kind of hear versions of it everywhere you're looking for motivation, but, you know, the basis of it is it's not how what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens to you. And I take that, you know, to heart, and I use it pretty strongly in how I address my day to day. I mean, what happened to me happened, and I can't control it. I can't change it. I never will be able to change it. I don't know if I would if I could. But I can change how I can affect how I react to that. And that's the only thing I can really do going forward is, like, you know, I can choose to like hate life and hate, you know, be bitter about everything that's happened to me and hate anyone who was involved with anything that ever happened to me negatively. But that's not going to get me anywhere except probably sicker and not well. But I, you know, I can be positive about going forward and be grateful for what I've got, which is a lot, including life. I always say that when people say, oh, how can you not, you know, how can you be not mad about that? I'm like, well, for starters, I'm alive. That's a really big thing, actually. And I've got a family, and I'm able to work sometimes, not as much as I would like. I can golf sometimes. Like, there's so many ways to phrase it in positive ways instead of, okay, well, I spent 2 of the last 4 weeks in hospital again. Don't get me wrong. I do have really bad moments where I do hate the world and hate that this is happening to me. And I'm a human being, and I'm very capable of wallowing in self-pity and getting depressed and anxious. But in general, my big picture outlook is to be responsible for my outlook today, which is really all I can be in charge of.
Yeah, man, that is so huge. Like, that's the thing that's jumped out at me. You know, you had every opportunity, you could always take the other path, and you never have. You're just, you know, like you've said it best, you summed it up perfectly. You know, and you talked about like growth through suffering when we were chatting earlier, and I was like, that kind of blew me away too. Like, I've sort of heard the concept, you know, but like, you know, the way you've put that and saying how grateful you are for everything, and like, you've made friends you wouldn't have made otherwise. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'm truly in a unique position. There's no one, as far as I know, there's no one on the planet who has a fully silicone laced airway, and one lung, which I'll get to later. And all of that goes along with that has put me in a unique position to like learn from that. And, I mean, it's big in Buddhist philosophy, and I'm not going to go there because I'm not a Buddhist and I don't know enough about it, but I know it's there that you grow through suffering. And I definitely have. I mean, I'm a completely different person than I was, 2 years ago, but definitely 15 years ago. And there, most of it's for the better, like my outlook on life and my way of dealing with confrontation and negative, and I don't know, I'm pretty chill about everything, because the worst has already happened, so it's all gravy from here on out.
For anyone who's just listening, I'm smiling a ton right now because you are the most chill. Like, that's, you know, when I think of you, Devin, like, you are so calm. And I was wondering that, listening to you, like, this must, in the vet clinic setting where things can get chaotic, I mean, the dial must just be turned down for you, you know, like what is that like? You know, like, emergencies are coming in, but in comparison to stuff you've already dealt with, like, that's just, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, not to toot my own horn, but that's why I do so well at it, is because I'm, it takes a lot to get me ramped up. So I can kind of take everything slow motion, but like, I've been like, you know, come at by like a 300 pound guy who wanted to like throttle me for something that happened to his cat. And I just look at him like, it's going to take more than that. And they can feel that. And that's, I put that energy out there. Right. And it calms those around me. And, when I came into partnership at Fish Creek, they put me in, they being my partners and me being being aware of what my skill set was and my strengths. I offered to be put in charge of complaints. And for those of you who don't know, it's a very, very big, very busy clinic. I think there's like 25 vets there right now. So that was a big job. And it was a very time consuming job. That's not a reflection of the quality of medicine, but just volume of what we were seeing there. I did really good at that job because no one had the ability to escalate me. So people could call me whatever they wanted and accuse me of whatever they wanted. I'm just capable of like listening and like formulating a way to resolve it. And I didn't resolve everything. I definitely lost some battles in that role. But in general, I mean, people in the clinic knew that I was built for that role based on, I guess, what I've been through. And even if they didn't know that, they know where I'm at now, which is cool, calm.
Yep. Do you think that skill, as well as that example from your actions, has rubbed off, whether it's on your partners, whether it's other vets in the clinic? Because that's a skill, especially in emergency, which is, and I know it, emotions, feelings all run high and very high in those situations. How do you think that's played out with some of your other team?
Yeah, I would like to think that, but I mean, people are who they are. The best I can do is just lead by example and hope for my positivity rubs off on people. I know it has for some, because I've been told that, and I have people I work with and work for me who tell me that that's why they like working for me, is because I can break things down to rational, free of anxiety. Like I can just like, okay, this animal's dying, but step back and what are we going to do? Or this person's threatening to sue you and kill you. Okay, that's horrible, but what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You screaming back at them probably isn't going to solve it, right? To answer your question, I wish I could have done more there, but in terms of influencing others, but health wise, just has forced me to not be as present in the clinic setting as much right now. That's kind of where you're going with that.
Well, I don't know, this could be a weird question, Devin. Like, do you do any work or like around that sort of like channeling your energy? Like I spit my water out when you said 250-pound dude coming at you and just your look tells him like, that's not going to cut it with me. Like, to bring that and channel all everything that's happened to you and then turn it into this amazingly like positive influence that you just bring day after day. Like how did that evolve? Like, how did you get to that spot?
Yeah, no, it's just a natural progression. What are you asking? If I've done work together? Well,
like, do you have to, like, every morning, do you have to wake up and like consciously be like, get the energy up, like we're going into this positive space? Like, how do you, cause sometimes for people that can be energy draining, right? To put out that high of like a frequency and lead the team,
Yeah. No, it's just who I am now. It's just, it's just a consequence of my environment. And I've just been, 200 days in hospital, you have a lot of time to focus on who you are and think about how you want to approach things. Plus, another big thing I've talked about, but I'll go back to, I wasn't able to talk for almost 2 years of my life. So it was 19 months before I had, from the accident till when I was it was safe enough for them to work on my vocal cords again. And that experience of just being forced to listen to people rather than always speaking your opinion probably had a pretty profound effect on how I deal with people. And that's a big part of what I've just said to you is listening to people. And when you actually like sincerely listen, you can diffuse a ton of conflict because a lot of people just want to be heard. So when I get on the phone and someone starts yelling at me for something that I wasn't even involved with, let's say, and I just actually listen to them and show them that I'm listening, that goes a long ways to solving the problem right there, is just showing that you know that you hear what they're saying and you don't want to just, you know, blab, argue back right away.
Wow. This is so interesting how, like, really this is created or given you all of the skills needed to just be a killer, like emergency veterinarian owner. Yeah. Like the dots are just connecting for me here right now with that piece of info about, like, holy man, no wonder you're such a valuable partner and no wonder you can diffuse any complaint that comes at you. You know, and you said earlier, I wrote it down. It was like, you said, I don't know if I would change it if I could. And I was kind of shocked to hear that, but it's like, wow, like you have taken this curveball and got everything you could out of it to like go to the next level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I truly believe that. I said that to you the other day when we had our pre-talk, was like, you know, I could dwell on wishing that this never happened. Right. But I kind of get philosophical and be like, for that not to happen, a whole lot of other things wouldn't have had to happen as well. Like going to vet school, maybe. Everything happens for a reason. I really believe that. It's cliche, but the person I am today and the position I have in my company and the things I've been able to achieve, I don't know that I would have been as effective if I was just like year two dev was a different version than year, you know, post accident dev, and the person I am now is definitely a different person. So yeah, I don't think, there are moments where I'm sick of it all and don't want to ever see a hospital room again in my life. But when I take a breath and look back at the big picture, I know that everything has led me to where I am today, and it's a pretty good place to be.
Wow. And so what do you say to someone that doesn't have your perspective, right? That hasn't been through the events that you've been through, that is, you know, wallowing in their own sort of self-pity over something that's probably insignificant, you know, like if someone's listening right now and they're in a little bit of a hard place over, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill, like what would you say to them, I guess?
Well, the first thing that I note out of what you said is that someone, you know, wallowing about something that's insignificant. I don't think there is such a thing. Like, if it's a big deal to you, then it's a big deal, right? Like, people always say that to me. They'll be like telling me something at work, like, oh, I've got a migraine, but oh, that's nothing because of what you're going through. I'm like, I don't think that my suffering like supersedes everyone else's in the world. Like, and all you need to do to experience that mindset reality is to go to a hospital and see how much worse it can be. Like, every time I'm in the hospital, at least I'm coming out of there alive, and there's always someone in my room or someone in there that isn't. So that's a place to start, is that, yeah, I've been through a lot, but I don't consider myself like a martyr. I'm not like, I don't suffer way more than anyone else. I just suffer differently. So that's an important part in understanding, like, or comparing yourself to others, is like we all suffer, and some of it's physical, some of it's mental. And I guess what I have is a more visible, quantifiable way of suffering, but it doesn't make it worse than someone else's. It's just different. But I think all of that has made me more empathetic and easier to relate to people. So I can, I'm really good at if someone's going through something, I can usually feel it pretty easier because I've been vulnerable and I know what it's like, and I am vulnerable a lot of the time still.
Wow, man, that's amazing perspective, Devin. You got anything to add in there, Johnny?
From somebody who's gone through what you've gone, Devin, what does showing vulnerability to others now look like to you when you're describing that empathy that you have? So for those that want to know what that looks like, what does that look like in your eyes?
Listening, being open, and just understanding that everyone's going through something. That's also cliche, and I think it's been touched on a few times with some of your other guests, but everyone's going through something. And when you're interacting with someone and maybe don't like how they're interacting with you, sometimes it helps to take a step back and say, hey, where did their day or week or month or life take them to lead them to that interaction, and why they're treating people like that.
And do you consciously think that in the moment, or is that something that now comes naturally to you because of these events?
I try to, but I mean, once again, I'm human. I still, look at someone and say, he's an asshole, or that was stupid, or I'm definitely like not Dalai Lama Zen. But in general, I try to do that. I try to think about big picture and everyone is unique in their suffering, and it's pretty rare for someone just to have a straightforward, super happy, free of anxiety, free of depression, free of obstacles. I just don't think that's real.
Yeah, it's not what life's about, right? I think, you had said that growth through suffering. What does that look like? Yeah. And if you're not putting yourself sometimes into those situations, are you actually growing? And we've talked about that a number of times. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. And so, Devin, it's amazing. Like to go in, from everything I've heard, I know you guys worked together at Fish Creek for a period of time, busy, successful hospital, work your way up to partnership. You've sort of partially exited that, like with a partial sale of that and moved over to primary care. Can you talk a little bit about, we talked in the pre-conversation, with everything that's happened, you still arguably reached like the peak, of your track, right? Of getting into clinic ownership. So can you talk about like kind of reaching that and then pivoting a little bit and where you are now?
Yeah. Okay. So out of vet school, my mentality was very much still denial. I really wanted to be, not the victim of an airway accident. And I just thought I could just work my way through it and it would eventually just disappear. So I worked like a banshee, and that was when I was working with, well, we never worked together. They did that on purpose.
Oh, we were always, they didn't trust us to work together.
But me and you both worked a ton that year. Like we're talking like 50 to 80 hours a week.
Yep.
And, so this is crazy. I would do, and I was, I was having still having airway interventions. I would work like a night shift, and I would have I was having breathing problems. My doctor is a godsend, and he would fit me into his schedule. I'd work an overnight. My wife would drive me to the hospital in the morning. I'd have a deep sedation. I'd have a bronch, fix me up, get me my airway cleared out. sleep the rest of the day, then go back to work the next day. And I did that for a year, trying to be like superstar vet. And it caught up with me. I did get MRSA in that period in my lungs, and I just ignored it. And one day I remember I'd done it overnight, and it was a crazy night. And my partner, or she's my now partner, but then mentor, Katie, came in and she's like, "Dev, you're green." And I was like, "Yeah, I feel that way." And she's like, "No, you're actually green." And yeah, I looked in the mirror and I was like sick as a dog. Went home. My wife took me to the hospital, and that was probably the last day I worked in that, set foot in that building as a vet for about 2 years. Yeah. So I had like MRSA pneumonia that tried to take me away for a while. And I ended up battling that for a good portion of time. Sorry, I got sidetracked. But yeah, when I came back from that, it was a long battle. I slowly worked my way back up to being a functional vet again. Like, it was like 4 hours a week here, then 10 hours, then 15, then 20. So that takes us to like 2013, 2014. And then I just started, I got motivated and back on track again. And the right things happened at the right time. And I was like, opportunities came up. And even though I had problems and everyone knew about them and I didn't try to hide them, I was like, here's what I can offer you. Even though I've got all this going on, I still want to be part of this team. And I think I've proven that I like would sacrifice anything to be part of this team. And they all saw that. So yeah, they made it happen. And I became an owner there. And then, yeah, I just kept with ownership comes, no matter how hard you try not to work full time, it's not possible. So that's a good take home message to people out there, is that there's no such thing as being a part-time owner of a clinic, because I was trying to, and I had partners who were trying to help me to preserve my health and take care of myself and, you know, only work 4 days a week or whatever. It just doesn't happen. So I'm not blaming ownership on what happened to me next, but I definitely, once again, worked way too much and way too hard. And I really dove headfirst into being an owner and lived that life hardcore for 2-3 years. Then one fine morning, January 2018, I was sitting, eating breakfast, going through my emails, and I hit the floor. I thought I'd been shot. It took me a few minutes and I realized that I wasn't dead, but I definitely wasn't doing well. I crawled to the bottom of the stairs and like banged on the wall because I couldn't talk. My wife came down and one thing led to the next, and I ended up in the hospital and had a fully collapsed right lung. I had every test done and they, over that next couple of weeks, and they told me that my right lung was basically dead, non-functional. But we also, I wasn't a surgical candidate, so I couldn't have it removed because of how bad the damage was. Like the classic places to do a lobectomy or a pneumonectomy in me aren't good places to do surgery. So we decided to let that lung, like atrophy, I guess is the best word, like die on its own in my chest. And my doctor, who's a brilliant man, you know, he couldn't tell me how that was going to look, because once again, I'm in like uncharted territories, right? This isn't something that they teach you in med school, is how to intentionally collapse a lung in a human. But it ended up not being a fun process. Surprise, surprise. And it didn't want to die. Surprise, surprise. Like it would collapse and then reinflate, collapse and reinflate. And that happened for like a year and a half. And all of that hurts a ton. And you can't breathe good when it happens either. So that 2018 to, let's call it mid last year, was a battle of losing my right lung. And I am answering your question. It's just taking me a long time. Opportunities came up at my clinic for me to tone or to dial back and sell and get, sell some of my shares. And I just had to, no matter how positive I am and no matter how going with the theme of my whole thing, which is I'm going to beat everything. And I knew that to be true, but I also knew that I couldn't do it while being a full-time partner. It wasn't fair to my partners either. I wasn't being fair to them to be trying to be a fully functional partner when I was dealing with what I was. So I decided to back out at least management wise and sold shares accordingly.
Nice. And you find yourself now more as like a primary veterinarian. You know, you were saying you come home and you have pictures of puppies and you show July and the kids.
Yeah. So when we moved from our old building to our new emergency building, we kept our old one as a primary clinic. It's called Little Creek. And when COVID happened, my doctor didn't want me out at all for the first few months. And then, cause I'm definitely high risk. I'm like a walking lung infection. But when sanity was a little bit more sane, I was able to think I could do a bit of work. I just can't make it happen at Fish Creek right now. There's too many moving parts. So I'm lucky to have Little Creek as an option for me, so I can have my own space there. And I do like phone consults, and then I have a assistant who brings the animal in, and I do have a bit of contact with human beings and definitely with animals, but it's a lot less than it would be at Fish Creek. So for now, that's what I'm doing. And yeah, I love it. It's a different pace. And, we talk about me being wired to be an emergency vet and handle all that high trauma. And I definitely am, but I'm still good at being a normal vet too. And I quite enjoy being, the quieter, relaxed pace. I'm at a place in life right now where I'm just, happy to be going slow and being grateful for where I'm at and breathing more right now and observing more and just living a bit more life rather than just like focusing on survival and conquering vet medicine. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah, if anyone has deserved it, man, it's you. Like, to kind of slow down a bit and enjoy. I mean, it's just an incredible story. Like, I really sit here kind of speechless for most of it.
Yeah. And that's just, there's so much more to it. I mean, there's 14 years worth of stuff in there and we've just kind of hit the highlights, but I'll write a book one day.
As you should, Dev. You should.
I highly encourage you to do that. Wow. Yeah. Okay, man. Well, I mean, yeah, we could go on and on. I mean, thank you so much, like, for sharing your story. I mean, it's just incredible. So, I mean, before we move, go ahead.
Yeah, there's one thing that I wanted to talk about that we didn't. Can I do that quick?
Yeah, dive in.
Sure can.
We keep on focusing on me as the impetus for like survival or whatever. But it's important for me to say that, and this has also been brought up in with some of your past guests, is it's the external as much as is just as important. Like, I couldn't have done this all on my own. Definitely. I've got a big support network, which is like my wife and my family, right? If I didn't have them, game over. Like, that's the honest answer. If I didn't have a wife and a daughter when this happened to me, I wouldn't have made it. I needed a purpose, and that was that at the time. And also, like, I've been blessed with, like, we talked about this the other day, amazing people around me. I put that energy out there, so I get it back. One of the ways that's manifested is like the doctors who have been put in my path. Like, I truly have been in the care of the creme de la creme. I mean, part of it's timing, and part of it is the magnitude of my injuries has necessitated that I needed the, you know how it is. Sometimes the worst problems get the best doctors. But I just wanted to say that, like, it's not all me, right? It's like, I've definitely got a superhero team of doctors led by Dr. Tremblay. He's like, he is the Superman of pulmonary medicine in like the world, as far as I'm concerned. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there as part of this conversation, is like, it's not all just like this guy doing it. It's like, there's a team that roots for Team Dev.
Yeah. And that's a big team, Dev. Like, we know from external on friends and family and everybody that's around you, that's always cheering for you and willing to pick up a phone and willing to talk and all these different people and individuals. But again, as you've talked, you've provided that magnet for people to come your way. And that is so impressive. And you don't turn anybody away. And that's what helps draw people to you.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what I had to say before I lost my chance to speak.
No, man, that's you. You're always welcome. And I mean, that just speaks to, like, again, like how humble you are. Like, I wouldn't expect anything less. And I know, like, you have this amazing support team that help you kind of with opening the doors and that. And, you know, what you've done is just, it's just amazing. So, I mean, thank you so much for sharing it. I know people listening this, I mean, this, you're very vulnerable. Like, this is a vulnerable conversation. So thanks so much.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak it. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you, man. So I guess sort of shifting a little bit lighter here into the impact round, as we wrap up this conversation, a few questions for you, Devin. Are you a cat or a dog person?
I don't know if I'd answer that truthfully to my clients, because I wouldn't want to upset anyone, but I'm allergic to cats.
Totally.
Is that the answer? I love dogs, though.
No, that's good. That's good.
There we go.
We're not going to be.
I was waiting for the dogs to come out.
We can't air this episode now. We throw all the dog answers out. So this was all for naught.
We're done.
True or false? I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian since I was a kid.
Oh, I already answered that one, but definitely false.
How would your friends describe what you do for a living?
Most of them have pets, and most of them have rendered my services, including at, you know, as you guys will know, on 2 a.m. texts or phone calls. And I'm very proud of the clinics that I'm a part of. So I've shown most of them given them the grand tour. So most of my friends have a very good idea of what I do.
Nice. What is your favorite hobby? And you can only say one, because I already know what the short list is.
Oh, man. I'm only allowed to say one?
Well, you can cheat if you want, but it's up to you.
Okay. Well, all the other ones I could live without if I was forced to, except for music. I'm a a massive audiophile. I'm like a huge collector.
Whoa. For anyone, yeah. Anyone not watching on YouTube, Devin just showed us like a massive vinyl collection.
And I'm records. And I'm a huge live music fan. I'll travel anywhere to see my favorite bands.
What is your favorite band?
Definitely Led Zeppelin. I'm a hippie at the core. My favorite band who's still like pumping out music is Queens of the Stone Age.
Nice.
Nice.
What in this world are you most grateful for?
Definitely my wife and kids, but living and breathing is pretty special too.
I hear you, man. Okay, man. Cool. Once again, Devin, thank you so much. I'll give Johnny here a chance to say anything if he wants to, because this was just a crazy
awesome
conversation.
Yeah, I think from what we were hoping that we could allow for a platform for discussion today, this exceeded. And Dev, as always, it's awesome chatting with you, buddy. And to do this in this framework, like I said, exceeded expectations. So had a blast. This is one of hundreds of conversations, if not thousands and tens of thousands that we've had, and love it. Like the enthusiasm, the positivity, and yet the acknowledgement of what is real. It's amazing. And to be able to share that with others on this platform, super appreciative and grateful that you joined us.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm all about keeping it real.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Okay, before we hit you with our last question, if anyone wants to reach out and connect with you, Devin, how can they do so?
Yeah, you can hit this will tell you how old I am again. You can hit my Hotmail.
Nice. Do you want to share that?
devnob@hotmail.com. devnob@hotmail.com.
Nice.
I literally, every once in a while, I've got to email them or something. And I'm like, am I still using the same email address? Both you two.
I keep a Hotmail account. That's what I sign up to all the email lists with, because then it just goes to one thing. But way to rock the Hotmail, Dev.
Yeah. Okay.
So as always, the last word goes to you, Devin. What message do you want to leave for the veterinary community?
Okay. Well, I wanted to, you guys have been so great on this platform at pumping others. What's that phrase? Pumping sales. You're good at featuring and bringing out, highlighting people. So I wanted to thank you guys for making this platform, because it's really been cool, like eye-opening, and I truly have taken away something from every episode so far. Some have been more profound to me than others. And I said to Mike the other day, I'm sure, the ones that I thought were amazing, some people, so everyone's going to see a different episode and get what they want out of it. So two last words. And the first one is kudos to you two. But my final one would be, everything that I've talked about here today, and Mike, you said your goal was to change, to positively affect 1,000. Was that what you said?
Yeah, that's the current goal, 1,000 people's lives.
So I'm not going to be quite as ambitious, but I think if I could affect one person, I'll be happy. Like if there's one person watching to this episode who is like at a spot in their life where they're like, I don't think I can do it, you can. That's what I'm going to say. What's the quote? Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So that's what I'm going to leave you with, is like anything's possible. You just have to think you can do it.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.